I was reading this. Just before I start, just share a bit of what I was reading, kind of when I was doing my journaling this week. And I was reading in 1 John, and I was just kind of thinking about it again as we were worshiping just then. And it's this. I'm going to try and find it now. I should have found it before I started doing that little spiel about. It's because I was doing it. I went up to Sydney on Thursday and I was doing it on my phone at McDonald's at San Suzy. Or not San, where is it? Yeah. Anyway. And I didn't have my journal, so I just wrote it in my phone. And so, it's gone. I really need to find it. Being in the light, it's just down there. It's in like 1 John or? 1 John 1. There we go. Thank you, Pam. Wow. I was reading from 1 John 2. That's right, yeah. That's genius. I love it. That wisdom that comes from years of just serving God and well advanced. What was it, Heath? The nice way of saying somebody's old. Well advanced in years. No, seriously, I was thinking about it this morning because Pam did the same thing for Dad this morning. And just a life where somebody has lived their life devoted to God and just spent time in His Word every day. And it just builds this wealth of knowledge and something that I really look forward to. Anyway, John 1:7 says this. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just, and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His word is not in us. And I was reading that, and I was just kind of like, struck by it, that it doesn't say, like, you need to be perfect. It just says, you just need to not pretend that you're perfect. It's like, if you want to walk in the light, and you just need to say, God, I'm sorry. I know that I'm not perfect, and I want to confess that to You, and this is what I've done wrong, and so I don't want to live, like, in the shadow of that, but I want Your light in my life. And that as we do that, then it says that we have fellowship with one another and with the blood of Jesus. Like, and so I suppose I really encourage us all just to be doing that. And as we were playing that song, I love that line, like, the hope which was lost now stands renewed. It's just like we get to this point where we've done stuff and we think it's hopeless. But because of what Jesus has done, we can stand in that hope again. And that can just be renewed in our heart and it can be renewed in our lives. And that's just an incredible gift. Like, the gift of grace is just phenomenal, that you could stuff up and 1 second later say, God, I'm sorry. And He just forgives you for that. And that's amazing. And that He just never gets sick of doing it either. It's just like, never. It's like when the disciples say to Jesus, like, how many times should you forgive somebody in a day? And He just says 70 times 7. It's just like, obviously, like, He wasn't expecting them to add that up in their head. He's just saying, look, it doesn't even matter. Just keep on forgiving. Just keep on loving. Just, that's what it's about. And so, anyway, that's just a freebie. And out of that, I suppose, I just encourage you to be spending time with God every day and be expecting Him to speak through His word, because, like, there's this whole wealth of information in the Bible that is powerful and true, and that there's people all through it that have faced pretty much every situation you can think of and any situation that you might find yourself in. And so, I think, this is not even near my message yet, but I'm reading this book that Mum recommended to me called The Divine Mentor, and it's all about being mentored by God and by the people in the Bible and the lessons that they've showed you by spending time reading His word every day. And it says that there's two pains. This is the pain of discipline and the pain of consequence. And so the pain of discipline is getting up and spending time reading the Bible every day. And the pain of consequence is making a mess of your life because you didn't do that. And I'd rather the pain of discipline. And I know that I've done both and all of us have done both. And you know which one's better. So anyway, so tonight, sorry, I know it's hot, but it keeps blowing the pages of my notes and my Bible over, and I can't see where I'm up to, so I'm just going to get hot. Tonight I want to talk about laying it down. I think that it's easy to kind of be selfish and to kind of move forward with our lives or do stuff with our lives and get caught up with our own needs or our own agendas or things, or even to get caught up just like having like things with people or whatever, you know what it is. And it's easy to kind of be selfish and to kind of look at our life and aim for that stuff and just be people that are kind of all about number one. And I really feel that God has something bigger and higher for us, that he's called us to a higher way of living, a way that's not consumed by my needs, but by his purpose. And where I can just go, God, I lay it down for you because your ways are higher and you know better than the plans that I would make for myself. And so whatever it is, and maybe tonight there's something that you know you're thinking about or maybe not at all. And this is going to kind of just be, I don't know, whatever to you. But I think if we're serious about living in the higher purpose that God has for us, the incredible way that God has for us to live, then we need to lay stuff down and we need to be good at it and we need to, I think we need to just get better at doing that with our life. And I suppose it's making maybe a lifestyle of being humble and a lifestyle where you lay stuff down before God. And that could be the way you're living or circumstances in your life or something that you found yourself in or whatever it is. And it's knowing that God has something better, bigger, greater and more incredible than where you've kind of got yourself. And then being willing to then say, okay, God, well, I'm going to give it up to you. I'm going to let you deal with that. I was reading Isaiah, and Isaiah 55 says, I'm going to read a whole chunk of this. So maybe you want to find it if you've got your Bible here. It says, come, all you are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. That's pretty cool. Why spend your money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what's good and you'll delight in the richest fare. Give ear and come to me. Listen that you may live. I'll make an everlasting covenant with you. My faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a ruler and commander of the people. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations you do not know will come running to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth, making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is the word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. I really love that. It says, like, God is just saying, the way that I think, the way that I work is higher than the way that you think. And that's like a big arrogant statement if you're anybody other than God. But when you're God, you have every right to say that. And he says, as far as the heavens are away from the earth, that's how much better I think. And then he says, and like water, like rain comes down to earth and doesn't just leave without doing anything, but it produces fruit and does all of this incredible stuff. That's what my word is. And I suppose what I'm trying to say with this is why would you lay it down? Like, why would you take the thing that you have worked on or that you have thought is the right way and give that up? It's because God's thoughts are higher and better and he has something. And everything that we try and do in our own strength will just fail. Every time it will fail. But everything that God does, like, is incredible and is fruitful and has blessing. And God never fails and God never changes. And So kind of laying it down is putting God first and saying, God, I am going to admit that the way I've designed my life is not as good as the way you've designed my life. And so I want to change that and I want to give that to you. I want to lay it down. And that's a big statement to make. But I think if you know God and you trust him, then you're willing to do that because you understand the plan that he has for you and what it is. And so laying it down, I think, is really putting God first above everything, above like your situation, your job, your relationships, your friendships, your career, your schooling, like just laying that down and saying, God, above anything else, I want to seek you. Matthew 6:33 is one of my favorite passages in the Bible, and it just says, seek first his kingdom, God's kingdom, and God's righteousness, and all this stuff will be added to you. All the stuff that you would worry about in the natural, all the stuff that you would think about on your own and you would think is important, God will give that to you if you would seek him first. And I'm not trying to say that I've done that perfectly my whole life. I know I haven't, but I know that every time I just come back to God and I say, God, I just want to seek you first. I just want to lay this down for you, that he honors that he blesses that he moves in that. And so I just think it's not out of rules. It's not like seeking God first. Like people are like, well, that's a massive statement to make about your life. And they think that it's a religious kind of thing. And you're like, no, it's not about rules or what you can and can't do because you lay that down to God. But it's about love. It's about having this trust and confidence that God will provide that other stuff for you. And so that's why you do it. Like, it would be stupid to seek God first if you didn't know that he was going to provide everything that you needed. You can't do that. The reason that you seek God first is because you know that his thoughts and his ways are higher and that he has something incredible for your life, and that as you do that, he will bless you and he will give you this stuff. He will give you the desires of your heart. So it's about knowing and trusting God, and it's about knowing that God that just loves you every single time. And if you can get that, then you can lay it down. In John 21, we read about Peter, and I'm going to give us a bit of a background. But right at the start of the gospel, when Jesus is calling people to be his disciples, he sees Peter, who's a fisherman, and he tells him to put down his nets and to follow him. He says to lay down that thing that you thought like was your thing. So like he was a fisherman. That was his trade. That was his career. That was like the thing that his family did and that he would have done an apprenticeship with and all of that stuff. And he was setting up his trade and he was going and he was doing that. And he was a fisherman. And like, if you would ask, it's like when you ask somebody who they are and they tell you what their job is. That's kind of what Peter was. He was a fisherman. And so Jesus says to him, lay that down and follow me. And he does, to his credit. He just puts that stuff down and walks off with Jesus, which, like, we rip Peter sometimes for what he does. But to be a person that Jesus would walk up and just go, everything that you know and have held on to for your whole life, put that down and walk with me. And he does it. Which is, yeah, it is. But in John 21, Jesus has died and risen again. And so the disciples kind of don't know what to do. They're a bit kind of messed up because the person they'd been following for 3 years just died. And so Peter just looks at everybody and just says, I'm going out to fish. And what he's saying basically is, I'm going to pick that stuff back up again that Jesus told me to put down. And so he does that, and they go out and they're trying to catch fish and nothing's happening. And then they see Jesus on the shore. And there's this little passage in verse 15 where Jesus looks at Peter and says, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? And he says, yeah, you know I love you. He says, feed my lambs. He says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Take care of my sheep. The third time he says, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. I think this is this place where Jesus goes, like, it's not about like the rules or about what you even do or anything like that, but it's about whether or not you love me. He says, like, you followed me because I asked you to, and you're doing this because you love me. So do you love me more than the stuff that you've built for yourself? And if we are going to lay that down, if you want to lay down your life and give that up to God, then that's the question you need to ask yourself. Do you love God more than these? Do you love God more than the situation that you're in? And why would you do that? Because when you think about Peter, you think, well, maybe he would have done okay, although on that day they weren't catching any fish, so maybe he was not a great fisherman. But maybe he would have built himself a business and had a successful life and had kids and bought a house and he already had a boat and do all of that stuff and that would have been okay, but it wouldn't have been what God had planned for his life. And so I think the reason that you lay it down is because you don't want to settle for the average okay, but you want the incredible that God has for you. And that's hard, but it's so worth it. Amen? So I kind of just want to quickly talk a little bit about what kind of makes this hard or can stop us so that we can avoid that. So the first one is instant gratification versus long-term reward. That's a long thing for those of you writing notes on smartphones. I don't know. How do you spell which one? The whole thing? You guys can help him out there. I'm going to spell out the whole title of that one. Just write now versus later or something. So, because I think we've got to this point with our society where it's pretty instant. Like, you can eat 2 minute noodles and even that seems like a long time to wait. You can get onto Facebook anywhere at any time, which is a huge blessing. You can be like, I'm sitting in church right now. Andrew's preaching great. If I see that on a Facebook... Yeah, cool, yeah. And so I think we get caught up in this thing where it's like we can have it and we can have it now. And we've been fed that by the world. And it, like stuff like Facebook maybe is a bit innocent, but it comes down to like how you live your life. And it comes down to like one night stands and like abuse and all that stuff where it's like, I know what I want and I just want it right now. And I want to be gratified instantly. I want to just be satisfied right now and entertained right now. And it's easy to get caught up in this sort of world and in this sort of way of thinking. But this isn't how God works. And I know that's for a good reason. That I think God really wants to build in us before he can build with us. And he really wants to, like, before he can use you to do something, he needs to build stuff in you so that you're ready. It's like you see so many people who win the lotto and become instant millionaires, and then 3 years later you look at their life and it's all gone. And it's because they didn't have the stuff built in them to handle what they were blessed with. And so we need that building so that we can cope with what God wants to do in our life. And that's about laying it down and looking for that long-term reward. In 2 Peter 3, I was reading this just the other day. You can kind of tell which part of the Bible I've been getting through. But I was trying to find it. In verse 8 it says, "Don't forget this, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." It's not about being like instantly getting what you want. When you lay it down to God, it's not like you'll say, like, and God, like God can do something in an instant, and that's like he has the power to do that. But a lot of the time he would say, okay, you've laid that down, so I'm going to build something in you right now. I'm going to work in your heart so that you wouldn't be lost, so that you wouldn't die, but so that you can come to repentance. So that when I bless you, like it's funny how it says like God doesn't like, he's not slow like we understand slow, but he's patient with us. Because I think sometimes when we do stuff with God, we think we're being patient with God. And so we're like, all right, God, I'm doing pretty well here. I'm waiting and look how spiritual I am and everything like that. And God's like, well, you kind of got this the wrong way around. Can you see how patient I've been with you that every week you do something stupid that breaks relationship with me, but I keep letting you come back, that every day I have new love and new mercy for you, like, and that I am continually patient, and that I will be patient with you until the very end of eternity. And that's kind of, that's a different perspective on patience, I think. But I couldn't find this anywhere on the internet, and so it may not even be accurate, but I did hear once upon a time, may have been somebody else's message illustration, which could have also been completely false, that's a good point, that they did this study on these kids, and they said, all right, we're like, I've got this cupcake here, and you can eat it now, or if you wait for half an hour, you can have two. And they studied, like, the kids that took it straight away versus the kids that would wait and get the two. And apparently, in this illustration that I heard, they came back, like, 20, 30 years later and looked at those groups of people. And the ones that could wait for the long-term reward were more successful, were happier, had built that character. And it was just a natural thing in their life. But we don't have to be people that take the first cupcake. To stretch that analogy, but we can seek God and we can lay it down and we can let him be patient with us. Amen? So I just encourage you to go for that long-term reward, not just the thing that seems good now. And that's not always easy to do, but I think when you know that God has that incredible thing for you, like, and you know that and you can be confident in that, then it makes it a whole lot easier to wait. It's like, you know, Christmas is coming, so you can wait till Christmas. But if you didn't know that December 25 was ever going to get here, then you'd be much more impatient to get your presents, kind of thing. It's like, so, yeah. The other thing I think is temptation to do it yourself. I think when you lay something down, like Peter, it's so tempting to pick it back up again, and to think, like, oh yeah, I've got the idea, God, like, I think I'm right now. Or to go, well, wait, this is just hard and I'm, this is just not working and I want to give up. And so I'm just going to just do it my way, because I think my way was working actually pretty well. And it would for a little while until it all starts to fall apart again. And so I think we can get to this point where we get tempted to kind of do things our own way and in our own strength rather than continually putting it down, because I don't think that laying something down for God and saying to God, God, I want to honor you with my life and I want to give you my whole life, I don't think you can just make that statement once. Like, I think you make that statement every morning when you get up, and every time you do something wrong and you sin, you make that statement and you continually do that. And it's this process of just laying it down. And then when you do something wrong and you pick it back up, you just put it back down again. And you just continually, it's a living sacrifice. It's continually offering that to God. And so, but it's tempting to pick it all up again. And I was thinking about this, and I think looking at how Jesus lived and realized that there was nobody that was tempted more than Jesus to do this. And nobody that had more reason to try and do stuff in their own strength than Jesus did, yeah? It's like we think that we're strong in our own little, like, human way, but he is the Son of God come down to earth, and even he submits to God and lays it down and doesn't use his own strength. And there's this time just before Jesus starts his ministry, and I'm reading it in Matthew 4, where the devil comes to him and... It says, I'll read a bit. It says, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. There's an interesting thought. God actually took him somewhere where he was going to be tempted, deliberately. It says, after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Just put that bluntly right there. And it's just like, what else would he be? Anyway. And it says, the tempter came to him and said, if you're the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. Jesus says, it's written, people do not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple and says, if you're the Son of God, he says, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. Jesus answers him, it's also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test. Then the devil took him to a high place, a mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all their splendor, and said, all this I'll give you if you will bow down and worship me. Jesus says, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, 'Worship the Lord your God and serve him only.'" Then the devil left him and angels came and attended to him. And I was reading that and I was like, wow, Jesus was tempted more than anybody to do something in his own strength. And he gets to this point where he's weak and he's stressed and he's tired and there's this stuff that sounds good and that he has every single thing in his own power to look at that stone and say, "Make, become bread and just eat it." Like, he can do that, but Jesus relies on the word of God. And so how much more should we rely on the word of God when we're tempted to do things our own way? Because if that is what Jesus does when he has all that power himself, like, the Bible says that Jesus is the word. Yet Jesus still laid that down and quoted scripture. Like, come on. So there's nobody that has been tempted more than Jesus has. And there's none of us that, no matter what has happened in our life, have not had something harder than Jesus. They wouldn't be like, "Jesus, you don't understand because you haven't been through this situation." Like, no, it's wrong. But Jesus uses the word of God. And as well as this, like, it's incredible, I think, like, how much Jesus laid down. In Luke 22, it's just before Jesus is going to be crucified, and he's praying and he's trying to seek God, and he says, "Father, if you're willing," it's in verse 42, Luke 22, "take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." And I was thinking, here is Jesus, Son of God, creator of the universe, there at the very beginning, and he submits to the will of God and he lays that down and he says, "God, like, I know who I am, but I'm going to give that all up for these people, like, fast. And I'm going to lay that down and be obedient to death on a cross." Like, come on. Like, so even Jesus wasn't willing to do something in his own strength. And so neither should we. Because I just think it's incredible that here's somebody who, if anybody was going to get there in their own strength, it would be Jesus. But he doesn't. And he does that, I think, partly because he's setting an example for us. And he's saying, look, this is what you do. Use the word of God. Submit yourself to God. Know his word so that when that temptation comes, and like the devil in that passage even uses a scripture. But he says, no, it's also written here. And so it's knowing the word and letting that be in your heart so that it comes out and trusting God and submitting to his will, not your own. And so I'm just going to finish with that. But I just want to encourage you that laying it down, putting aside your own agendas or goals or all that stuff is worth it. And it's also not supposed to, like, just make this hard, horrible life. Like, it's understanding that God has this incredible plan and that his ways are so high and that his purpose is to bless and to make you fruitful and to give you not just an average, okay kind of life, but an excellent life that is everything that he has for you. And so I suppose just encourage us to do that. And so just ask yourself whether you love God more than that, than the stuff of this world. And so whether you're willing to do that or not is the question. So I'm going to pray. God, thank you so much for your love and your grace towards us, that Jesus came and even though he is the Son of God and he is there with creation, God, that he gave that up for us. And that's such an incredible thing. And God, I just pray that you'll just show that to us more and more, that you would help us not to lean on our own understanding and our own effort, but to trust you. And God, that we would know that you have incredible plans for our lives and God, that you want to bless and that you want us to be fruitful and that you are waiting just to pour out your spirit. I just want to pray with you maybe tonight if you've been kind of living your own way of living and your own agenda of living and you really want to lay that up to God and say, God, I just want to live for you now because I want to honor you. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. I'll just pray with you just quickly. If you just want that relationship and that connection with God, I just want to pray with you for real quick. Thank you, God. God, I just thank you for everyone here and for people who have responded. And just pray that you just be real in our lives and help us just to lay our own ambition and our circumstance at your feet, God, and just offer it up to you, God. I pray that as this week, as we go and as we try and seek you, God, that when we stuff up, that we would just continually offer that to you, and God, that we would be living sacrifices because you deserve that, God. And Lord, I just want to thank you for your word. And for how it can be powerful in our lives. God, that Jesus even uses the scripture when he's in trouble and in temptation. And God, that we would do that every day and that you would just really feed us with your word and help us to be people that do that as a discipline, God, and that allow you to speak to us every single day. Amen. Awesome.